Amen.
Glory.
You don't need to keep singing different songs. If you find the right song, keep singing it.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, my dad, Brother John, I'm sure remember more than any of us, in the old Pentecostal meetings years ago, when they got a song, they just kept singing it. It was nothing. They'd sing it 100 times. That's how it was. In Africa, when I went to Africa, they could sing the same song, just the chorus, 100 times. But while they sang it, the power of God came. People were touched, healed, delivered while they sang. Because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. That means that God is on the scene. When you're praising Him, He comes near. Hallelujah. And He comes near to bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us close our eyes. Praise the Lord. If you have a need this morning, just raise your hand up to the Lord. Praise God. And I'll tell you, singing well. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank You and praise You that we can come into Your courts with thanksgiving and into Your courts with praise. And we can truly say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. Father, we're glad for the man called Jesus. Lord, when the man's eyes were opened, and they said, how were thine eyes opened? He said, a man that's called Jesus has opened mine eyes, and I can see. Heavenly Father, I pray that that same man called Jesus will move in our midst today. Lord, you see the hands of reeds. You know every situation. You know every need. I pray, Lord, that you will have your way in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, rid us of our own ideas. Rid us of our own thinking, our own doing. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Oh God, act in us and fill us again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Help us, Lord, this day to worship You in the beauty of holiness in Your sanctuary, pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, You do live. You're living today. You are alive. You're risen from the dead. You're wearing the victor's crown. You're seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and You ever liveth to make intercession for Your sins. Lord, help us with Your word. Anoint us. Fill us. Overflow us. Call the Holy Spirit to run over us like the oil ran over Aaron's beard. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I receive Your Spirit. I take it in the name of Jesus. And I bind every work of the devil in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meet needs, we pray. Hallelujah. Have Thy way. Hallelujah. Anoint the reading of Your word. Grant wisdom. Grant an unction from the Holy One. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Oh Lord, do Your people good. For I know You're going to. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. She can't be ever beside and say, God's going to bless you. Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Praise God. While we're turning to Luke's Gospel, remember that next weekend we have Brother Andrew Beecham, and this is a real good opportunity to get maybe some people to come that wouldn't normally come, because when you have a visitor, it's a good opportunity, and a brother is a fine preacher, evangelistic, it's a chance to get people in. So I would ask everyone would make a big effort. We'll lift next Sunday morning's offering will be for a brother to help him. He's paid his flight and everything to come. And you give as the Lord has blessed you. Now, I was thinking if we didn't have next Wednesday night, maybe we could have a Saturday at two services on Sunday. But who would be free for next Saturday night? Lift your hand up. Praise God. That's about 50%. Those that had your hands up, you want a Saturday night service?
Yes.
Then we'll have one anyhow. Praise God. Amen. I'm not going to say nothing. Sometimes if I say something, people take it the wrong way. God spoke to me, you know, this week. And I know what He's told me. So all I have to do is what He told me. I was listening to a message this week, and someone said to Brother Branham, he said, Brother Branham, Oral Roberts prays for 500. You're only praying for one. He said, yes, brother. But he said, Oral Roberts is doing what God told him to do. And I'm doing what God told me to do.
Yes.
So all we can do is what God tells us to do.
Yes.
Praise God. The Lord bless you. Let's read from verse 11 of Luke 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the youngest of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. And they began to be merry. And the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Maybe somebody could open the window. It's hot in here. Who's hot? Praise God. Amen. How many remember when Brother McCarthy came to the farm, and my grandfather and grandmother had the fire lit? He preached, and he never took his coat off. He stranded in front of the fire. How many remember that? And I think, I don't know what was Ireland or Mary, but they made a cake. And boy, he liked that cake. And he said, sister, some night there'll be a fella parachute in from England through the windy for cake. Praise God. And you know, he's gone on to be with the Lord. Praise God. You know, that's a long time back. 93 or 94, somewhere about there. But thank God, you know, the time goes. Praise God. Now, we know that these parables were spoken by the Lord himself. And they clearly show how God, in his great plan of salvation, receives sinners. That's the thing about these parables that the Lord talks about. And the Son of God seeks the lost that he might save them. Praise God. And all the parables of the Bible, what Jesus refers to, is all about salvation. All about the kingdom of God. Jesus always spoke about the kingdom. Jesus always preached about the kingdom. And he didn't preach about a coming kingdom. He said the kingdom of God is now amongst you. For he was the kingdom. And when the Holy Spirit comes in a meeting I believe we can say that as well, that the kingdom of God is now amongst you. The power of God. Praise God. He receives sinners. The Son of God seeks the lost that He might save them. The Spirit seeks the lost that He might use them. And the Father seeks the lost that He might fellowship with them. God has a plan for men and women. God doesn't just save you so that you can say, well, I'm now saved and that's it. The Lord saves you so that the Father can fellowship with you. God wants to fellowship with you.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit wants to bless you. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. Just like the Holy Spirit led Jesus, the Holy Spirit seeks to lead you. For the Bible says the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't say they're led by the church. Doesn't say they're led by the deacon board. Or the pastor. Or the general overseers. It says the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the guide.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is the power of God. The Holy Spirit is everything you're going to need. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2 says, on the day of redemption. So when you're sealed, you need the Holy Spirit. You need to pray for the Holy Spirit. You need to ask for the Holy Spirit. You need to seek God for the Holy Spirit. You need a desire to be filled with the Spirit. Desire to be walking in the Spirit. Desire to be talking in the Spirit. Desire to be singing in the Spirit. Desire to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because the sons of God are led by the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, it shall come to pass that they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So God wants you to get to a place where you worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not just truth, but spirit and truth. They come together.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the Spirit of truth. For the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. John 14 says He will take of the Father's and will reveal it unto you. That's the Holy Spirit. He said you need no man to teach you for the anointing. How many know the anointing comes by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is what anoints you. The Holy Spirit is what quickens you. And the anointing which you have received will teach you all things. So if you want to get more teaching, seek for the Holy Spirit. Don't seek that if I listen, brother so and so, I will learn more. You might not, you might learn wrong. But if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you receive the Holy Spirit, then you have a discerner within you. You have the Holy Spirit discerns the Word. He knows the Word. Praise God. And He will quicken to you what is right. And He'll show you what is wrong. The Holy Spirit will. Praise God. This parable of this prodigal has been called the Prince of Parables. It has been the door of hope for many a weary wanderer. This parable here. And the first thing I want you to see from this parable and from verse 12, and I'll read other scriptures, but you keep your Bible in this one. I'm going to use almost every verse. The first thing you see is a selfish demand. And you see, many people don't pray, they demand. You know a lot of people that don't pray, they demand.
Right.
Some people preach a sermon to God, they don't pray to Him, they preach God a sermon. God doesn't need you to preach Him a sermon.
Amen.
He is the Word. Praise God, you need to pray to God.
Right.
You have the story of the two that prayed. One like had his chest out and said, like, I've done it all, I've kept the commandments, there's nobody like me.
Yes.
But the Bible says God never heard him. But the other fellow said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you, Lord. I need your mercy. I need your grace. Now, I'm prephrasing it, but you know what I'm talking about. God heard him.
Amen.
We must come humble. Jack Cole said we must get really low to get it. Come really low. That means humble ourselves. If we're going to receive from God. And when you humble yourself to receive from God, then God can lead you to speak and say things. But you have to humble yourself first. You know, some people think God's like a messenger boy. Click your fingers and time. Praise God, isn't it the truth?
Amen.
You know, when a brother came off his back, you know, it was bad, but you imagine if he had come off his back on a man on a murder wire somewhere different from that, he might have been here. But where he came off it, he's here. God has a reason for everything. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit protecting him, stopping him. You know the story about the lamb? Where the lamb kept breaking out and the shepherd broke his leg. And the fellow said, "You're cruel. You broke the lamb's leg." He said, "I broke his leg because I love it." He said, "You broke his leg because you love it." He said, "If you love it, you wouldn't broke his leg." He said, "You see, where it was breaking out, there was danger there. Wolves there. What could kill it? What could do it harm? But now his leg's broken. It has to stay here." And sometimes things happen and we can't explain. And you see, Brother Branham said this. He said that you could go to laying hands on somebody and taking a curse after them, that God used the devil to put that curse on them. Because they're out of the will of God. That's what he said. And he said, God doesn't bring sickness, but he permits the devil to do it. Because when we rebel from God, we get in trouble. Amen?
Amen.
But this fella here says in verse 12, "Give me the portion of goods." Couldn't wait. He wanted it right away. Praise God. Like many today, he wanted to have all the goods and blessings that the Father could give him, that he could use for his own personal gratification. And many people are praying for things before they're praying for the will of God. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." What's the most important thing? Seeking first the kingdom of God. If somebody hasn't got the Holy Spirit, they don't really be praying for other things. They need to be praying. The first thing in their agenda should be the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That should be taught.
Yes.
Till they get it. Praise God. You know, Jesus never permitted his disciples even to preach. Until they got the Holy Ghost. You know that? He said to them, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power."
Amen.
After the Holy Ghost come upon you. He didn't say, "Now on you go, boys." He said, "Wait for the Holy Ghost." Yes, they went out before, but don't forget he was on the earth with them. But after he left,
amen,
they had to wait for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And if they need the Holy Spirit to preach, we need the Holy Spirit to preach.
Amen.
Praise God. You see, many have utter regardlessness of the Father's wisdom and blessing and feeling, dishonoring to God that we would seek to manage our own lives with the gifts. And God gives us gifts, and we know gifts and callings are a thought of kindness, but many people misuse gifts. You see it on television, you see these great preachers, they've got gifts. Would you agree with me they're gifted? Certainly they're gifted. But many of them misuse them. They misuse them. Let me read you this from Discerning His Spirit. Now there's so much in the day that we're living in pertaining to gifts. So many people judge people by gifts that they have. Well, I believe that these things are gifts. I believe that what we see take place is gifts. And they are God-given gifts. But we do not use them the right way that God intended them to be used, then we can do more harm with the gifts than we can do good. If we do not have the gifts. The other night I made a statement at the pulpit saying this, that I would rather see brotherly love existing among the church if we didn't have one case of healing or anything else. See, we must know what these things are for. And you get people that say they're gifts, but they'll fight you like a devil. Now what use is a gift? Come on now. Paul said charity's greater than all gifts. Did he say it? Now we're not against gifts. We believe in gifts. Many of us have gifts. Many of us operate gifts. Preaching's a gift. But brotherly love's the greatest. Now if a man comes and he has a great gift, no matter if he belongs to our denomination or another denomination, don't judge him by what denomination he comes from. Well, we do that today. We're guilty of doing what he said not to do. Are we or not? Are we not? Certainly we are. Does he believe the thunder? He's not in. Proves he? He's not in. I don't need to go and look at some other organization. I'm talking about amongst the masses. That's where we are. No point in me talking about the Baptist or somewhere else. Let's have it here. I know people don't like to hear it, but it's the truth anyhow. You know, they say we believe the prophet's message, and hardly any of them agree. But yet that message is still true. See, he preached the truth.
Amen.
He preached the gospel.
Yes, he did. Amen.
That's what he did. Paul preached the gospel.
Yeah.
So we should do like that. Paul said, "Be followers of me, I'm Father Christ." Paul didn't say, "Be followers of me, I'm Father Thunders or Perusia or some other name." He never said that. I showed you last week for many names and things he used. The prophet never mentioned it once. But they make such a thing about it. We need to have love one for another. And even if we meet somebody that's not off our persuasion, let me say it like that.
Amen.
He still could be a genuine person.
That's right. Amen.
The main thing is, are they saved? Then once they're saved, they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Now you know people are saying today, you can have the Holy Spirit, but that still won't get you in. Now, let me tell you, brethren, whoever believes that or preaches that, they're not speaking according to the Bible.
Amen.
Brother Branham never said that. Paul never said that.
Amen.
1 Corinthians said here, you're baptized into one body by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians says, you are sealed by when you get to the fourth stage. Do you read that? No. What are you sealed by? The Holy Spirit. When is the seal broken? You're sealed only the day of your redemption. That's what this Bible says.
Yes,
that means you cannot be lost.
Amen.
So what else would you need to get in? Now if you have the Holy Spirit, let me say this. When you have the Holy Spirit, you will believe the Word. You will not deny what God's done. You won't say, I'll have nothing to do with that if you have the Holy Spirit. You've got another Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not deny Himself. He cannot. We know that. Praise God. Listen to this now. But what you want to see is what He's trying to do with that gift. This is the person of the gift. What purpose He has. If He's trying to take His influence and build Himself a great name out of it, I've had discernment of spirit enough to know it's wrong. No matter how great a teacher he is,
yes,
how powerful he is, how intellectual he is, or how gifted he operates. If he isn't trying to achieve something to benefit the body of Christ,
amen,
your own spiritual discernment would tell you that that's wrong, no matter how accurate or how perfect how it is, it's wrong, it isn't used for the body of Christ. So when somebody comes along and they say, now brother, I want you to listen, such the one, and you go to listening such the one, and the next thing he tells you, now I have something greater than the other fellow, leave your church, follow me. And then he goes somewhere else and he does the same thing, and he gets people to leave the church, follow him. Now everybody's following this particular person. Is he building the body of Christ? Is he doing what the fivefold ministry says? The fivefold ministry is for the edifying of the saints. Till they come in the perfect unity of Jesus Christ. None of the fivefold ministries for. It's not to make splitters and quitters. It's to bring you into unity. One with another. That you will love your brother more. That you will love your sister more. That you will get behind where God placed you. Not behind someone else. But where God placed you. Many say, I believe the prophet's message. But do they? Brother Branham says, God will show you your pastor. When he shows you your pastor, he says, stay with that man. If God showed you that's the one to be with, stay with him. But then many say, well, God showed me to leave him, and they sit at home. And they listen in here, there, or yonder. Now they say, we believe the message, do they? Which message are they believing? It's not scriptural. Brother Branham went to a man's house, and he went hunting with him. It came Sunday. And the brother never dressed for church. The prophet said, what do you think you're doing? Get your clothes on. Get yourself dressed for church.
Yeah.
And he said, but Brother Branham, he said, get yourself dressed for church.
Yeah.
He said, even if you're on holiday, go to church.
Yeah.
Get somewhere, even if it's only one slice of bread.
Yeah.
It's better than no bread.
Yeah.
Even if they don't see all I believe, still go.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Amen. Yeah.
But he's went everywhere. He's took people away. Of course he's a new revelation. Brother Branham never preached the one he's got. Paul never preached the one he's got. This is a real new one. Now, brethren, here's why you need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because Paul said that don't speak according to the law of the prophets. There's no light in them.
Amen.
Paul said, let no other foundation be laid than the one that's laid. Even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches another gospel.
Yes.
Then they tell you, now this gospel's not enough.
Yes.
But Paul said it's not enough. Is that another gospel?
Yes,
come on.
Yes.
It has to be. If Paul's his original gospel,
amen.
And Brother Branham, beyond the curtain of time, when he was caught over, said, I preach what Paul preached.
Yes.
Multitudes screamed out, we believe it, we're depending on it.
Right.
He didn't say, I preached another gospel. He didn't say, I preached to you a different gospel. He said, I preached the same as Paul preached.
Amen.
And he did.
Yes.
Praise God. Romans 11:29 said, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Many people can have a gift, but they can misuse the gift. Brother Branham said he went to a service one night, and I know I'm using these examples, but I want you to get this. He said he threw men, he said he thought they were angels, he said he thought it fell amongst angels, both spoke in tongues, both interpreted. But he said, the little gift I had gave me a vision, and I saw them both. And he said, I saw one of them was genuine, the other one had two different women. He was living with a white woman and a black woman at the same time. Hypocrite. But he still had a gift.
Yes.
Now, Brother Brown didn't rush in and say, now, when I tell you, Father, God showed me that you're doing this. He didn't do that. Sometimes you just leave it, but you know it. But he did preach the truth, sure enough. It'll fix it. Amen?
Amen.
But you see, if they speak not according to the law and the prophets, don't believe it.
Right.
Now here's another thing in verse 14. Wayward journey. He says, give me all my inheritance. Give me it all right now. As soon as he got it, off he went. He went on a wayward journey. He went on a journey that took him away from the Father's house.
Yes.
He went on a journey that he thought was fulfillment of pleasure, but it was fulfillment of sin. He went on a journey that wouldn't last for very long. He went on a journey that took him away from all the blessings and privileges he had.
Yeah.
A wayward journey. And once we leave the Word of God, we're on a wayward journey.
Yeah.
Once we leave the presence of the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
we're on a wayward journey.
Right.
Once we leave the true message that God has sent, not an interpretation of it, but the real thing, what we can watch second hand, when you have the real thing.
Yes.
Listen to the voice God sent. Didn't Revelation 10:7 say, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God shall be finished. That means declared, made known, as he had revealed to his servants. And that means more than one. The prophets, that means more than one. Because there's one for each church age. Are you following me?
Yeah.
That's what we need to follow. In the far country. The far country represents the condition of sphere of living where God is unknown. When you run away from God into the far country, you're away from God. When you're away from God, you're away from His blessings. You're away from His protection. You're away from His fellowship. It's the work of the devil that takes you away. Not the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why you have to be real humble to follow this, you know. Because this woman, and he said everywhere she went, no church suited her. Everywhere she went, no church suited her. Fault everywhere she went. And I believe it was her husband sent to her. Said, you know where your trouble is? She was looking in the mirror, fixing her hair. It's in front of you. That's what he told her. Said, that's all your trouble. Said, if you can get the one sort of like this in the mirror, you can go to any church you want then. See, what do you come to church for? Do you come to hear Brother John, Brother Tom, Brother Billy? You should come to meet with God. Amen. You should come. You're going to hear things you might agree with. But here's it is. Spit the bones out, eat the chicken. Don't you try and tell them. Look, don't be too quick to judge a brother when he comes because you see fault in him, because maybe, you know, maybe all but your preacher's not chicken. Maybe some of his bones. Amen. I'm talking about myself as well. I would not consider that I get up here and every single thing I say is chicken. Now you know what I mean when I'm saying that. I can let all it is. So every word's of saith the Lord. I wouldn't say that. I'm doing my best. I'm doing the best I know. You mightn't agree to every word I say, but you just spit the bones out and eat the chicken. Isn't that what Brother Brown said? He said, I love cherry pie, but I don't eat the little seeds in the cherry pie. I leave them. Don't like the seeds, but I like the cherry pie. Amen. And you don't have to have somebody that says everything the way you see it, because the way you see it, some of it mightn't be right. Everybody mightn't see it the way you see it. But what happens is, some brothers, one sees it a wee bit different, and the next thing there's a split. And that's the devil. If you war one against another, you'll be consumed one of another.
Amen.
Love one another.
Amen.
Praise God. Isaiah 1 verse 19. If we be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Verse 20, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord spoken it. He left off, going his own way. Here's another thing from verse 13, reckless living. You see, once you go your own way, you might say, I go my own way, I will still live for God the way I'm living, coming to church, you will not. You might think you will, you won't. Am I preaching the truth? It's called backsliding. And this fellow, if you haven't found it yet, he's a lost son. He backslid. He never was not a son, but he's a lost son. Lost. He went away from his father's house. Wandered away. Wandered away. And the next thing, when he wandered away and he got out of fellowship, the reckless living began. And the reckless living took him deeper and deeper into sin. Spent all he had. The Bible says, and there he wasted a substance in verse 13. Sweet fellowship with the Father was exchanged for riotous living of the ungodly. And the result was, as it ever is with a backslider from God, a wasting of his precious gifts. And maybe a brother's a gift to sing. Maybe a brother's a gift to prophecy. Maybe a brother has a gift to bring a wee word. Maybe a brother has a gift that he can pray. Maybe a brother's a help or some gift. And the devil wants to take him away out and make him a wanderer. I used to chum with a fellow that was a wanderer. And he used to walk the roads. 20 miles, no problem. No bother at all. He met me once at Tremore. I met him at Tremore. Now he walked from Lisburn to get to Tremore. How many knows Tremore and Lisburn are far away? 8 miles? I'm sure it's 8 miles. 7 to 8 miles? From Lisburn to Tremore, how far is it? Anybody know? 9 miles. There you are. Let's even further. So he left Lisburn, walked to Tremore. I met him just outside Tremore. We walked to Lisburn, got a bike. We walked from Lisburn to the Mara Road. We walked from the Mara Road to Lurgan. We got to Lurgan and we walked back to Lisburn. Then we walked back to Tremore. In one day, we did it regular. Running ourselves on our feet. best one. Right back. But why I'm telling you the story different now, I seen that fellow one day. You know where he was walking? To Belfast. To Belfast. Still walking. 27 years later, still wondering. But I thank God of that wondering. But the great shepherd found me. And I'm no more wondering, but he's still wondering in a corner. And the devil will run you here, there, and everywhere. But you don't need to run here, there. It's not scripture. The Bible says, be still. And know that I'm God. Wait upon the Lord. Don't run here and everywhere. Reckless living. We cannot keep the substance of God's forgiveness, peace, and joy when we willfully forsake Him for the pleasure of sin. Psalms 51, verse 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. That's what that man needed. That's what every man needs. It's running away. You're not actually running from the church. You're not actually running from the minister. You're not actually running from a brother in the church or a sister. When you leave and go away, you're running away from God. And the further you run, the next thing you know, you'll not just be running, but you'll begin to get involved for things that you never were involved in before. A young man said to me years ago, there's another young man, he wasn't long saved, and this fellow said to me, do you see where he's going? I said, where's he going? And he told me. He said, I wouldn't go there. Would you go there? And I said, my brother, hold on a moment. I said, maybe I wouldn't go there. But I said, he's just seen it. Maybe he doesn't know yet. Just pray for the brother. But I said, never say what you wouldn't do. Because you'll do anything but for the grace of God.
Amen.
And 3 years later, the fellow that wouldn't go there went further than there. He went places where the other fellow never went and never would go. Because he backslid away from God. And sin will take you further than you want to go. And sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. And you might be able to pray and feel God's blessing and hear from God. But when you run away and when you leave God, and one day when you think, well, I'm praying as I used to, you can't do it. You can't do it. Because you've grieved the Spirit of God and you've wandered away. And then when you kneel down to pray, you'll have the devil to attend with. And he'll show you all your sin and he'll show you. He never mentioned it to you when you're running. Now let me get you this. He'll never leave a thing to you while you're running. He'll show you all the good stuff when you're on the run. You see, when you're on the run, you've no time to hear from God. And many people do things and they haven't prayed about it and they haven't sought God about it. Then the rubber hits the road and you realize, is this really God's will? And they get themselves in a whole mess of trouble. Let's follow to the end of this story. I might get it all finished this morning. All be wasted. The enjoyment of them will be speedily die away. The pleasure of sin last but for a season. 1 Timothy 5 verse 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Think she's having a big time. But dead while she liveth. 2 Thessalonians 2:12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but in pleasure in unrighteousness. Romans 1:32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but a pleasure in them that do them. Pleasuring in sin, pleasuring in the thing they know they're out of God's will. They're something wrong. When the Spirit of God moves you, you better hear till it. Here's another thing from verse 14. He had a miserable plight. No, it wasn't happy. It was miserable. Miserable plight. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. And I tell you, when you're on the run, it's great. But one day you wake it up and smell the coffee like the man says. I know what I'm preaching about too well. I left home. I was on the run. And I go to meetings. literally on the run. There's a few in this country are still on the run. But I left home, I was away from the things of God, I knew better. And I ended up in jail, in a miserable plight, in a famine. I decided to read the Bible, and then they took the Bible out of the cell, and I couldn't read the Bible. And I tell you, you'll decide. You'll decide, but you see, you can't decide. You're on the run. Away from God, on the run. What are you running from? And I believe the Holy Spirit speaking to somebody today. And I'm going to preach it as I'm led to preach it. On the run. What are you running from? No matter how far you run, David said, if I go to hell, he's there. If I go up to heaven, he's there. God's everywhere. Amen. God will catch up with you. No matter how much you run. And I'll tell you, he caught up with me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad he did. Yes, I was too busy to stop and wait. I was too busy to hear. But when you're in a dark cell with the door closed, you're not running no more. It's time to hear. It's time to wait. And I tell you, don't be too quick to run, because God can stop you. God has led some people in a sick bed so that he can stop them. Do you realize that? God's permitted it. So that he can stop them. So that he can talk to them. He'll do whatever it takes because he loves you. The Lord really loves you. This famine arose, a mighty famine. A mighty famine is sure to overtake all. They have wandered away from God. It'll overtake you. Hunger of soul will certainly come upon those who spend their gifts for what is not bread. He found out by bitter experience that the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion takes you to dry land, not a fruitful land, a dry land. Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God sitteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. A dry land. But we want to be in a land flowing with milk and honey. We want to be in a land of plenty and of blessings and privileges of God for ours. That's God's land, not a dry land. Israel's land was dry, but how many know that God said he caused wells to spring forth, parched ground in the deserts, the lame, the leaping, the heart, and so forth. That's what God did. But the devil wants to take you into dry lands. Does the Bible say the Spirit driveth them? The Spirit, the unclean Spirit, driveth them out like a madman into dry lands. The Holy Spirit doesn't drive you. The Holy Spirit leads you, not drive you. Here's another thing from verse 15. He ended up with a spurring efforts. The spurring efforts. He realized, he started to waken up, he started to realize all his efforts were efforts of the spur. Look what it says. He went and joined himself to the citizen. Look what he was. He was in the Father's house, he had everything he wanted. Gold rings, the garments, he gave it all up. He went, he thought he was going to do this, going to do that. He did nothing. Absolutely nothing. What he thought he was going to do. He misused his gift. Now he joins up with a crowd he never thought he would join. Ain't that something? But not long will he be there. For they'll not have what he wants. Now that's what happens. A lot of people leave fellowships, they leave places, and they want to go and join somewhere else. But it won't be long until they realize they don't have what they want. Because if you're out of God's will, it won't matter where you are. You won't have what you want unless you're in God's will. He had willingly given away his substance. Now he is compelled to give himself. Such is the course of sin. If we waste the gifts and privileges, ourselves have finally become bond slaves. When you look at the life of Lot, you clearly see he took some foolish and fruitless steps and he became ruler in Sodom. He departed from Abraham. No But a lot of things folly them worked out. How many will agree with me? Look what else here in verse 16. He came to a friendless condition. Oh, but nobody in the church thinks too much of me. Well, I'll tell you what, if you think the world thinks a whole lot of you, you're in for a big shot. They'll use you and they'll bruise you and then they'll leave you. The world will use you, bruise you, and leave you. You have no friend in the world. Hear this preacher telling you, for it's the truth. Amen. Oh, I had lots of friends when I was drinking and running about and racking and turning. But I'll tell you what, see, when I ended up in jail, you know how many of them came to see me? Not one. Have you not friends? Well, I thought I had. Not one of them came once. See, poor old Tommy. Not one of them came. Now I'm talking about the first time I went in jail. The second time I went in jail, I had people came. Brother Andrews here was one. Locked me tracks. Different things. But blessed me. But you see, in the world, you have no friends in the world. None at all. You have acquaintances. You see, the Bible says there's no friend like Jesus. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The Lord Jesus says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Go with you always, even to them. That's the friend you want. The Lord. Everyone else will let you down. It might mean well, but they'll let you down. The Lord won't. No man give on to them. Verse 16. No man gave him. He's down and out and no man's given him. He's left the Father's house. No man's given him. He's experienced famine and no man's given him. He's even eaten the husks that the pigs eat. This fella's down and out. This fella's in an awful shape. Away from the Father's house. Away from home. And all spent and all gone. And nobody's given him no more. Where's the devil now? Where's his friends now? Where's the pleasure of sin now? You see, it only lasts for a wee while. It only lasts for a season. Short-lived glory. That's the glory of man. Short-lived glory. But God's glory is eternal glory. He had sold himself for naught. Wrecked and set ruin. He longs for even satisfaction, even joined himself to pigs. Can you imagine? The church is not enough, but imagine joining yourself to pigs. Yes, amen. That's how far somebody can go. That's how far somebody can get away. Yes, amen. They leave. They don't think they'll do it, but at least tell it. At least down a road that's wrong. At least down a road that takes you away from God and the things of God. And all the things you never thought you'd do, you end up doing. Never cursed, now you're cursing. Never smoked, now you're smoking. Never drunk, now you're drinking. Backsliding away from God. Know all about it. Thank God for mercy. No man give him. No man give a sin-wasted sinner what he needed. Let me tell you this morning, Willie Mull was an absolute drunkard. A tramp on the streets. Wee mother died. They got all the family together. See who would take wee Willie. None of them would take him in. Not a one of them. Brother wouldn't take him for he had a family and he couldn't have a drunk coming home every night. They wouldn't take him. Willie says, when I look back on it, he says, I knew they shouldn't have took me, they couldn't have took me. A drunk on the street, a drunk laid out at night in the frost, his lung bursted with the frost, and he woke up the next morning and the wee fellow beside him was dead. Dropped on the street. But he went to hear a man preach. God saved him. God saved him. He came out of a field with his hat in his hand. And he met a great fellow and he said, it just smacked God in that field. The boy threw his arm around him and said, "That's great, son. But you see, the house really had to go back then. There's revolvers on the table. There's playing cards." He didn't know what he would do. And I'll never forget the story he told. It's wonderful. And I've often mentioned it. He used to carry a cutthroat razor in the lapel of his coat. And he said he could have took it out and cut your throat just like that. Trained to do it. These were gangsters, drunkards on the street. And he said, in his head and back, he came over a bridge and he said, "Lord, if one of them says a word, I'll have the knife out and cut the throat." All over for them. And he said, just then a plane went over. And he said, it was one of them planes that learns pilots how to fly. And there's two seats in it. There's a seat for the man that's the master, the teacher. And he's a set of controls. Then there's a seat for the learning pilot. And he's controlled. And if the learning pilot gets out of control, the master controller switches them off and takes over. So that the plane doesn't crash. And he said, God said, really, switch over your controls. And I take over. And he went down to the house and he said there was a big fella way over 6 foot and a revolver. And he said, he told him, "I've got saved." And he said, "Well, I wish we all could get saved." And the big boy read the house in 2 minutes and left him till himself in the house. And I don't need to tell you any more about Willie Mullen. I'm not worried about the finish. I can tell you he's seen people saved. And a Baptist too. But I wish we had men like him today. He knew how to preach the gospel. He's seen people saved. I'm going to tell you the wee thing. There's a fellow went to New Zealand many years ago. And he stood up in the pulpit and there's 120 in the church. And he mentioned Willie Mullen and all the people laughed. And he said to the fellow that was there interpreting and was with him, he said, "Why?" And they laughed. And this was out in one of them Samari in New Zealand. One of them, you know, out, not actually, we're hard, isn't it? More out in the island types, you know, where the Maori people and stuff. And the fella said, "Why did they laugh?" He said, "Every single one of them was converted to Christ by listening well and knowing what it is. Every one of them got saved. Some club or some program.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Tell a man like this man here that's lost. I tell you, this fellow spent it all. Look at this, verse 18, and I'm coming to close in a moment. He had a noble resolve. I will arise and go to the Father. Amen. Someone struck him. Someone moved him. Someone led him to turn. The Holy Spirit moved him. The Holy Spirit. He said, "Even I'm only a servant, just a doorkeeper, it's better than this. Land with the pigs, no money, no bed, no home. I'll go back to the Father." And he humbled himself and headed back. Oh, glory to God. "I will arise and go to the Father." Come back to Christ, not the church. And to him alone, and to him only.
Great.
This man was driven to the edge of madness, but he's now come to himself. Oh, I can tell you, God can sober you.
Amen.
God can sober a man. God can sober a drunk. God can sober a murderer. I heard one of the greatest testimonies I ever heard. I think it was Brother Brian let me hear it when I was in Australia. There's a woman, and this boy hijacked her. But she was a real Christian. And she prayed. She didn't know, but that man was a rapist and a murderer. And they were looking for him. And she felt led. She preached Christ to them. She prayed for them. She preached the gospel just the way sister. She said, someone come over her. And she felt led to do it. And he let her go. And they caught him. And they said, before we put him in the chair, he's going to die. They said, there's someone you should know, Mrs. He's never let nobody go. He's killed every one of them. But he wants to see you. You don't have to see him. She says, no, I want to see him. And he told her he got saved. A murderer. Told her he turned to Christ. And they put him in the death chair. And he died. But that wee woman was the only one he let go. But she was the only one that had the Savior. I tell you, when Jesus is really with you, nothing can harm you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's no power like the mighty power of our God. I tell you, when his arms are around you, nothing like the Lord. I'm rushing here. Let me read you this old hymn. While the lamp holds on to burn, the greatest sinner may return. Here's my last thought. I'm closing. He got a gracious reception in verse 20. You know it. I don't have to go over it. It's in the reading in verse 20 of Luke. When he returned back, his father ran to meet him. He said, kill the fat calf. Get me a garment and get me a ring. For my son was dead, but now he's alive. Oh, I tell you, when you come to Christ, he'll take you. This is not about following a man. This is not about following an organization. This is about an experience with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what this is all about. This is about knowing God personally. This is about being born again and led by the Holy Spirit. I tell you, the Lord loves you this morning. If you're here and you've been wondering, come back. Wonder no more. Jesus stands with open arms and he'll receive you this morning. I want us to come and bow our heads. I want the musicians to come and play that song, Just As I Am I Come. Praise God. I'm not going to call nobody forward to embarrass nobody or anything. While our sister plays, I want you to make a decision to return to Christ for your sin. I want you to say, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm not where it should be, but I'm coming home today. I tell you, Jesus will make the change for you. He's got the garment, he's got the ring, he's got the feast on. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand our feet while we sing a verse of this before I pray. And a brother's going to come. Just as I am, with others for me, but as my blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I pray. grant the shining grace. Bring the people, touch the people, and bless them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Let's sing it as our brother Gary comes. At 6 tonight, the Lord bless each one.
Thank you. Thank you for thy mercy and for thy grace. Lord, for God, that you are the Savior. And those in Christ is Lord, I believe. Father, we're God this morning for the truth we have heard. Lord, even when the prodigal was far away, Lord, you drew him. You drew him from the big trough.
Yes,
from the narrow clay, Lord.
Hallelujah.
From his feet on the King's highway. Lord, good God, this morning, indeed you are able to save to the earth.
Yes.
You're able to deliver. Oh God, that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are indeed the one that give yourself for us. And paid that debt for sin and that place called Calvary. Lord, if your servant once said you wounded the head of that arm of all sin,
yes,
and defeated him. Lord, you defeated both death and hell. Lord, the writer said, what was the news? And the answer back was, well, I have got good news to tell. For he hath done all things well. For he hath conquered both death and hell. Lord, we're glad for that this morning. We're glad, Lord, to be gathered in thy house, clothed and in a right mind. We pray, Father, as we go from here this morning, bless every dear soul that's gathered in this house this morning. Be the needs of thy people and bless thy people, and Lord, indeed we're blessed. We're blessed even to hear the words that are preached. Father, we know this morning, God, that thou wilt only do us good. Father, Lord, we commit ourselves to thee this morning as we go from this house. We say, bless the one that opened thy truth this morning. Undertake for every dear soul. Father, indeed, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and praise. Well, we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus to this end we pray. Amen.